Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Lola and Blair?
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh, I didn't think I'd actually get on here.
I didn't think anyone would ever call, so we're just a couple of people on the phone. We're just a couple of people on a phone call that we never thought we would be on. Lola and Blair, it says here. It says here that you believe that one of your roommates slept with Lola's dad. And at first,
yeah,
when I read that, I was like, okay, this is, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, how can you be so sure? But then it also says here that Lola found evidence on her dad's phone to make her believe this. So, I mean, let's hear this story. Am I talking to Lola or Blair?
All right. Yeah, talking to both of us here. I put you on speaker. So I'm Lola.
Put me, because I hear one of you guys is faint in the background and one of you guys is pretty front and center. Let's put Lola front and center. Have her hold the phone and Blair can hover over it, because I feel like this is Lola's story to tell, at least in the beginning.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, this is a little bit of a doozy, I admit.
So, right. Tell me, what's going on, Lola?
Okay. So, I recently transferred to college, and this is my first time having roommates. So I have five other roommates. Well, technically suite mates, but I room with one person. And so the person that I room with, Blair, I told her the entire story because one of our other suite mates, Olivia, it's a little complicated. I don't know what exactly happened to trigger everything. Maybe I was totally nice to her. I don't think I did anything bad.
I want to skip to what we know. Okay, so it's you. How many people live in this place?
Okay, so I live with Blair, and then there is two rooms that are single rooms. So one person just lives in that room. And then there's another room at the end, and that has two other people in it. And we share a bathroom, a shower, and
So Olivia is the one that you believe slept with your dad?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So what is it that makes you... You said you found something on your dad's phone to make you believe that Olivia slept with him. What is it that you found on his phone that made you believe that?
So it was Olivia's phone. So I was on her phone because I think I was just on Snapchat or something. I asked to borrow her phone for, you know, I forgot. But so I was on her phone. That's just it. And all of a sudden, a message pops up, and it's, heart emojis or something. But, you know, I click on it because, you know what, I'll admit, I'm a little nosy. So I click on it, right? And the contact name is something like baby or like heart emojis, you know, something cheesy and corny, whatever.
Sure, sure.
And you know, I click on it. I'm like, who is this guy? Maybe I know him. So I click on it and I recognize the number. And it's my dad's number. Mm. And so immediately I'm like, okay, something, I'm like, obviously something's up. So I scroll through the messages and I'm saying like, there's a lot of like, I miss you. Can't wait to see you next week. Heart emojis, some little inappropriate comments. And so, I mean, Olivia and my dad, they've met before because, you know, for move-in, my dad, you know, came up to the dorm, introduced himself to my roommates. But I didn't notice anything weird. I don't know how they got each other's numbers. Don't know. That's the only thing that, you know, I can think of that, you know, they met on move-in day to really, like, you know, exchange numbers. Maybe he came up once after that, like, but I didn't see them interact at all. I don't know. Just something is fishy. And I told Blair all of this.
But we did put our phone numbers up just because we all had met at this, like, on the first day. We all decided we should put each other's phone numbers up on. We have, like, a little, like, mini marker board on our fridge, so we each all did that.
So you think
honestly,
maybe so we think maybe Lola's dad got Olivia's number from this whiteboard where everyone has their phone numbers.
Yeah, maybe he like noticed her and was attracted to her, and then
okay,
decided
so
to ask her somehow.
So we have so if what you're saying is correct, you have evidence. Not necessarily evidence that they have met up and they have slept together and all this and all that, but you have evidence that they are in. You know, a form of flirtatious romantic sexual contact.
I was dumb. I didn't take screenshots with my phone.
Forgetting about screenshots, we're not talking about hard evidence here. I'm just saying you've seen it for yourself.
Yeah, I've seen it for myself. Like my
okay, so I so have it. You talked to your dad about this?
I have not. I don't know how I would talk to him or my roommate. Like, it's, you know, I don't know too much about my parents' marriage. I admit I don't really have, like, the best relationship with them. So I don't really know what's going on. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're open marriage. I don't know. And, so I'm just really like confused as to like what to do now. Like what do I say something to my roommate, to my dad, to my mom? Do I just keep my mouth shut?
Are your parents married?
They are married, but I don't know if they're like, you know, really like thinking about getting a divorce because I don't think my dad is that kind of man, really.
Well, listen, I mean, how are you? Okay, so in response to you not knowing what to do about this, how do you feel about the situation as a whole? Like, what are your thoughts about your dad sleeping with your roommate? How does that make you feel? What do you think about it? You know, I mean, what's your take on it? How does it make you feel? What do you think about it? Before we think about what you should do,
I honestly don't feel good about this. I really tried not to think about it at all because it's so like such a big issue. I don't know like how to feel. Like obviously this is wrong. Obviously something needs to be said or happened or I don't know, but. Obviously, this is not my situation. I don't know.
You said your relationship with your parents is already not you're not super close with them.
Yeah, I'm not super close with them. You know, it's just, it's not that, you know, we hate each other. It's just not like a good relationship, you know. I just felt like, you know, I was just living with them and they're just not really there for me. So, you know, I was just kind of happy to get out of the house.
Do you want to get involved with this?
No, I don't. I feel like a good idea is just to like forget whatever happened.
Okay.
And you know, but I feel like the right thing is to say something. So I don't know if I should be selfish and not say anything. Or possibly ruin like my relationship with my roommate and with my family.
I don't think you need to worry about ruining your relationship with your roommate. You know, I think she sort of made her own bed, but it's interesting because you and the reason why I was asking you about your thoughts is because you appear not to be reacting very viscerally to this. And when I ask you if you want to get involved with this, you need your gut reaction to say no. You don't want to get involved with this, but you feel like you have a moral obligation to. And I don't know. I'm not going to – this phone call will end without me telling you what to do because I don't really have an opinion on what you should do. But I don't know. I don't know what your moral – obligation is in this, or if you have any obligation at all, but I don't know. I hope that talking about it at least got you to like sort of consider your feelings about it and your feelings about it, not just in terms of, you know, some sort of objective moral standard that you're trying to hold yourself against, and also just to your own personal perspective on the situation, and, you know, sort of using all of that to inform whether or not you decide to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've actually known this, or I found the message a couple weeks ago, and immediately I talked to Blair about it, and, you know, we've been keeping like an eye on Olivia, and I haven't like,
here's what I will say. He will be sort of my last thoughts about this. Is you say you're keeping an eye on Olivia, you're kind of turning it into some kind of spy game, and it's like the only thing if I had to give some sort of advice here, I would say to you, figure out what you know. You're trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to a plan. Right? Because if you don't want to get involved, if you really don't want to get involved, you feel like it's just going to, like, mentally fuck with you to get involved, then don't get involved. And if you do want to get involved and you feel like you should get involved, you feel like you're morally obligated to get involved, whatever your reason is, then get involved. But sitting on the fence about it doesn't feel like the right move to me, at least. But I'm also happy to hear that it seems like you've got a good friend to talk about all this stuff with that is closer to the situation. So, you know, cherish each other's bestiehood and whatnot. But thank you for sharing, Lola and Blair, and good luck to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. I'll update you if anything happens.
Hello?
Hello?
Is this Travis?
Yeah, this is Travis. Hi, Geck. How's your night going?
How's my night going?
Was that a burp?
Mine is going pretty good. Travis, it says here that you're trying to figure out whether or not you're a furry.
Yes, that is correct. And I figured, like, I don't really know any furries. Like, none of my friends are furries. Or if they are, I don't know it. So you're kind of like the next best option I have, because I believe you're a man wearing a gecko suit. I've also heard you're a real gecko. I'm getting kind of like conflicting reports. But I figure, you know, I don't know if you're a furry, but I figure you might have some unique perspective for me.
Yeah, well, it's funny you ask this because I have an interesting relationship with this where, like, I don't identify myself as a furry. I don't take any part in any kind in the furry culture or the furry community. I really have nothing to do with furries, but it is undeniable that I am a person wearing an animal costume right now. So there really isn't all that much of a difference between me and them. I cannot create any wall of artificial difference between us. But enough about me.
Yeah, well,
you think you might be a furry. Why do you think you might be a furry?
I think it's kind of like a lot of little things over time that have been like building on each other. Like I've always enjoyed, you know, like media and content that involves anthro animals, but I never really like more than the average person, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of little things adding up that I'm like, now I'm like, could I be a furry? Am I a furry? And I'm like trying to kind of interrogate that question, you know, like I would feel more at peace if I could be like definitively yes, or, you know, maybe not. But I've got, you know, I could elaborate on that timeline if that helps.
Mm. Okay. So you think because you watch a lot of media and content with anthropomorphic animals that you might be a furry. Well, here's what we have to do first. And we could look at this from many different perspectives. One is this whole thing of am I a furry or am I not? Why do you need to label yourself? And it's a legitimate question. You might have a legitimate desire to label yourself, because from what I gain about the furry community, the pro of being a part of the furry community is that you're a part of a community of people who like the same thing that you like. Same as a guy wearing a LA Dodgers jersey and going to the games and hanging out with other sports fans. It's all the same thing, right? Just identifying with something and being a part of a community of other people that identify with that thing. Why? Is that what's attractive to you?
Yeah.
That identification?
Yeah, so I think
being part of the community?
I think it's kind of like, you know, I feel like I'm riding this train, or I realize I'm on this train, and I, you know, maybe I woke up from a nap, I don't have the itinerary, I don't know what stop I was going to get off on, you know? And so I don't know if I was trying to, like, get up on the stop where I am, you know? Like, I consume a lot of this content, and that's cool, or, like, if I could be getting off on a stop, or, like, should I go to some conventions? Should I buy a fursuit? You know, like, I don't think the identity is important to me, but as I've been considering this, you know, I've been like watching some documentaries and like trying to wrap my head around the subculture. And I'm like, it does seem kind of fun. And furries seem kind of like some rad people, you know, like maybe I would jive with that. But I think I'm kind of just wondering, like, how deep should I dive here? You know, like, Should I go to a furry convention when the pandemic's less of a thing, you know, see if I'm actually into that? I don't know. I also, you know, I just think it's, I think it's just, it's a fun strand to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I see no downside to, if you are curious, if you think that you might jive with other people into the subculture, then go to the conventions. Watch, join the subreddits, get involved in the community. The only downside, it's not a real downside, is if, let me ask you, are you afraid? Are you afraid of identifying as a furry? Are you afraid of being judged or ridiculed?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm afraid of it, but it's definitely like something I think about, because I think, okay, like part of the question of like, you know, am I a furry, am I not, is I've realized, like, some of the stuff that stirred up these questions is more like me having conversations with people who are, like, shitting on furries, and then I realize I have, like, a knee-jerk reaction to kind of, like, defend furries or be like, yeah, you know, like, what are you saying here? And I'm already queer, so, like, I'm already used to kind of just, like, not really giving a fuck what normies think I should or shouldn't be into, and I think maybe, sure, like, that totally knee-jerk reaction is partly, like, you know, siding with the underdogs.
Totally.
But it is kind of weird, because it's like, as far as, you know, the extent of being queer, it's like most of my friends are not weird about that at all. But like some of my good friends are weird about the furry shit. You know, it's like, I don't know if you've seen Beastars, right? It's kind of a furry anime. It's a good fucking show. And I know some people who are like, oh, I'm not going to watch that because it's like a furry show. And I'm like, it doesn't, like, I know people who are like afraid to watch content that is fucking good because they want to distance themselves from what could be considered a furry thing. And it's like a weird, it's a weird thing for me because like I haven't actually caught a lot of shit for being queer, but I'm like, oh, I have friends that would throw shade if I was a furry. So it's kind of strange.
Well, I mean, Travis, I think that you, I mean, you sound like a guy who is pretty good at not caring what other people think about him. And I think you should take that shit to the bank. That's a good life to live. That's a good headspace to be in. And goddamn it, go to one of these furry conventions. I see no downside.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think I will. When I'm not going to get COVID again. See, that's the other thing is I don't actually have a fursona. And I don't know, like, you know, so I feel like I've kind of got my foot in the door, you know, but I'm not all the way there. And I don't think I'm, like, necessarily trying to, like, decide, you know. I don't know. I have, like, a kigurumi of, like, a raccoon. But I don't
a
think
raccoon?
That's
all right, look, you know, because here's the thing. I'm not a furry. I don't think I'm an... I would consider going to a convention just to, like, do some interviews or something. I think that'd be fun. But objectively, running around in a big old raccoon costume, this sounds kind of fun. And
I think that
you should not reprive yourself of that experience if it is an experience that you wish to partake in.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And also, yeah, someone's asked you before if you're going to furry conventions and that too. I think you should do that.
Yeah, I would consider it just to do like some streams or something. I think that'd be pretty fun, but we'll see. I'll see you at the next one, Oliver. Take care. No, oh, crap. I called you Oliver. Why'd I call you Oliver? I haven't talked to a different Oliver. All right, we'll cut that.
You know, the screener got my name wrong too, so it's all good. It's just the thing tonight. Have a good night.
Here's the thing. All these things serve the same function. Intramural flag football, Dungeons and Dragons, cryptocurrency, furries, Marvel Comics, lacrosse, spelling bees. Bowling groups. It's all the same thing. It's just people who like the same thing getting together and talking about it and being about it, and it's fine. What bothers me all the time is that people will, like, rip on individual things when the underlying theme of all of these groups is the same. It's just different ways to bring people together. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Baby Bear?
Yes, this is Baby Bear.
It's Baby Bear. It says here that you have been exploring hypnosis with your partner?
Yes. Yeah, so I have... Well, first of all, it's only been an idea, so I've actually been exploring pup space with my partner. I feel like I resonate with being a pup. I've come to find that out within the last, like, 6 months or so. And so with that, sometimes I don't want to think, and I don't want to be an adult, and I just want to be a pup. So along with that, my boyfriend had suggested hypnosis to kind of help me put me more into that space. And so I'm kind of like nervous to kind of delve into it. I'm not entirely sure why, but I'm just kind of nervous.
So you are not interested in... So you are interested in the abandonment for at least a momentary bit of time of your human senses and your human brain mm-hmm. into a dog-like state via hypnosis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I already kind of, like, do it. Like, my characteristics kind of line up with it already, like, part of my personality. And I feel like with hypnosis, that would just take it, like, a step further. And I listened to this podcast the other day, and this guy's name's Case Kenny. And he said something that really stuck with me, and it said, never stop chasing your curiosity. And I felt that was more powerful than don't ever stop chasing your dreams, because that can be, like, really scary for people and, like, very almost, like, broad. And when he said that, I was like, well, if I'm curious about it, I should just do it. But at the same time, I feel like not necessarily have reservations. I don't know what I'm stepping into.
And what is appealing to you about becoming a dog?
Being carefree, getting out of overthinking all the time. And I deal with bipolar. So like when I get into my low, it can last a lot longer than when I'm on my highs. And I feel like kind of escaping, not even necessarily escaping, but just kind of flipping that switch and being just the more carefree, playful, don't really care what people think about me. If I want to wag my tail, wiggle my butt, I want to be able to do that to show that I'm happy. And just kind of almost like a healthier escapism than kind of derailing into my negative thoughts or that kind of negative space.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I absolutely see where you're coming from. When I look at dogs, they absolutely seem significantly happier than humans. Very present, very in the moment, mm-hmm. not thinking about the past, yes. not thinking about the future, merely focused on the life that they are living at the current second that they are living it. And I can see what is attractive about that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is the process of this hypnosis look like?
Well, I'm a beginner, so I don't really know fully all the details yet or, would really know how to, like, confidently or be able to explain it exactly maybe how it would be, because I feel like I don't want to give any misinformation, but it's different for everybody. I feel like for me personally, it would be maybe, like, a word that would trigger, like, let's say, hi pup, right? And that would, like, take me from being, because my name is Brianna, being Brianna to being pup. And then just kind of being in that space for a while where I'm just a pup, like not even necessarily like a dog that's just kind of chill, but like just a cute little fun, carefree pup. And then being in that space for a while with my partner, of course. Because, you know, he accepts me for that and he's helped me to explore that more. So that's, I don't know if I'm just kind of rambling and didn't really answer your question, but...
So you're trying to
hypnotize
yourself to a point where your partner can say a phrase and it will bring you into this mm-hmm. state of mind. So then I have another question. Are you afraid yeah. of the possibility that you will be permanently hypnotized into a pup and that you will lose Brianna?
Kind of. Let's see. Like, I do have some reservations in that sense. Like, and I know that my partner wouldn't do this because I completely trust him. But at the same time, I kind of have, like, just, like, this little thought in the back of my head, like, because I've seen different movies and shows and stuff where, like, people get put under hypnosis, maybe not even knowing it, or they do and they think it's for a different, that the intention behind it is different, and then being manipulated or tricked into being hypnotized to be doing other things that weren't consented. I think that's kind of where
But I'm not talking about the idea that you get hypnotized into something else. I'm talking about the idea that you get hypnotized into being a dog, but your partner is unable to hypnotize you back into being... You said your name was Brianna?
Yeah.
Unable into being yourself, and so you are permanently a dog. How does that sound to you?
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, but if I think about it from the perspective of, you know, I have to think about my adult responsibilities as well, and like my job, and, you know, those are the things that I have to take care of in my life. But if I was to a point where I had financial freedom and I had enough money to just be comfortable for the rest of my life, which I plan on doing at some point in time, working towards that for sure, to where I would just be able to chill at home, then maybe it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. But I don't know if I would want to be in that space permanently. 'Cause I want to have that sense of being back as Brianna, because I want to be able to keep learning and growing. I don't want that to be the only thing that I am, if that makes sense.
I agree with you that I also one day would love to be rich enough to be a dog.
That would be great.
Thank you very much for calling, Brianna. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
That actually sounds like a pretty good life.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm a gecko.
I'm a banana.
All right.
I have a story that kind of scarred me. This was told me about a year ago. I promise this is not pranking. I promise this is a true story. I'm looking in the chat. Somebody said this was a prank. I promise it's 100% true story.
Banana, do me a favor. While we're on the phone together, do me a favor. Try not to look at the chat.
Okay. I got you.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries, man. What's up? What did you want to say?
Okay, so I was going to my buddy's house to go pick up some stuff. And, well, he asked if he could go get some McDonald's with his girlfriend since they didn't have a car. So, you know, I left my stuff there because this is going to be a quick ride. We're going to go back, come back, you know, I'll get my stuff and go back home. Well, we get back to the place he was staying, and his roommate's girlfriend locked the door because she was going to Walmart. Well, they didn't have a way in, and my stuff was inside, so I couldn't wait. I had to wait to get my stuff. And so we were, you know, just telling stories. Well, he told me about how he had an ex-girlfriend that he got pregnant and they didn't have the money to afford for an abortion. So he told me about he grabbed they had to use a coat hanger. And he said that he could feel the coat hanger going up and he could feel it strangling the baby. And that shit kind of fucked me up, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'm all about abortions because that's free, you know, free rights to everybody, but like, how you gonna tell somebody that shit?
This was something that happened to your friend?
Yeah, no, he did that. Like, he did that himself. Like, he told me he could feel the coat hanger, you know, you straighten the coat hanger out. He said he could feel it penetrate the fetus and he could feel it scrambling and shit. I promise this is not a joke, but like, this shit's kind of fucked up.
So you said that this well, so interesting. So you say that this story scarred you.
Yeah.
I mean, if the story, if the third party account of it scarred you, I cannot imagine how your friend felt.
I mean, you're right about that, but he didn't. He did it for a reason, so he must have been okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. It says here. No, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, you can go ahead. I was going to say something stupid.
No, say the stupid thing.
I kind of don't want to because it's stupid.
It says here that you have a story about getting locked out of your friend's house. Is this the same story or are these two different stories?
That's the same story. Because we got locked out of his buddy's house because I had to wait to get my stuff that was inside of there. But, I mean, my life's kind of all whacked. I'm not going to lie. You want to hear some other stories?
Sure. Why do you say that your life is whack?
How much can I go with saying on here?
I mean, look, as long as you're not saying anything like, you know, tell me the arena of what you would like to say.
The FBI is not going to come raid my house if I tell you my life right now, will they?
Give me the arena. What area? What topic?
I make some stuff. I ain't gonna lie. I beat around the bush and kind of talk some people over, but. Okay. They all still buy my shit.
Okay, you beat around the bush. You say you make some stuff and you fuck some people over. In what way and in whatever amount of detail you're comfortable providing, do you fuck people over?
Well, do you know anything about like psychedelics?
Not a whole lot.
Well, you know how like there's like LSDs like on those tiny papers. Well, you can buy those tiny papers on Amazon by like a sheet for like $25. Well, instead of making LSD, there's something called LSA. It's so simple to make. Well, I found a way to get it onto the papers and gives you like a decent trip. And so I sell it really cheap, but it's really cheap to make. So I'd be like flipping my money.
And when you sell it, do you pass it off as if it is LSD?
Yeah, I sell it as LSD.
What does LSA mean?
I honestly cannot tell you that. I feel like lysergic acid, but don't take me up on that. I'm pretty sure it's not lysergic acid. You get it from the seed. The seeds are legal. The process to make it is literally the seeds and water.
Okay. And when you say you fuck people over, do people come back to you upset with you about this?
No, because if you get actual LSD, you can sell it for $15 a hit where I'm at. So I sell these for $5 a hit or $300 for 100 of them. So, like, I just pass it off as, like, really bad LSD.
Okay. And...
But you can go on YouTube right now and learn how to make it. And you can go on there and learn how to make DMT, too. Which I don't know if you know what DMT is.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me... You say your life is... I forget if I'm putting words in your mouth, but you said your life is fucked up.
Yeah, I think this is pretty fucked up, what I do.
Okay, so...
I'm not really happy with what I do. Okay. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, it's fine. So you're not happy with what you do. Is there anything that you could think of that you would rather be doing?
Well, I already work 40 hours a week, so this is sort of like a side thing, and I just enjoy doing it, but I know it's like bad. Bro, what? Okay, I just now remember what happened to me like 2 months ago. You will not believe this. I thought I was going to jail for life. Can I tell the story?
Yeah, but I wanna real quick, because I don't want to lose this. You said that you're not happy with what you do, but yet you say you enjoy doing it. So you just like.
It hurts my family. That's one real big reason why I hate doing this.
Okay, so it hurts your family, but you say that you like doing it, but it's something that has pros and cons to it in your eyes.
Yes, I don't think anybody should do this.
Okay, what are the pros for you? Making money.
Pretty much just making money. That's all about it.
Mm-hmm. And in what ways does it hurt your family?
They're just against it. They don't like anything about doing it. They've been sober for about 30 years. And I just feel like it's bad that I'm doing that shit.
Have you, I'm just curious, have you made any attempt at all to stop doing this?
About 2018, I got robbed of 2 ounces from a guy that I knew from like the second grade. I moved away from that school in like 10th grade, and I figured, you know, he wouldn't fuck me over. Well, he actually fucked me over, and well, that kind of made me stop for a minute, but I sort of just got back into it. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, I sell weed too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to any kind of, like, actual counselor type of person who you think might be able to help you?
You.
I don't know if I've disclaimed this to you, but I am not an actual... I am nothing more than a man in a gecko costume. But if you do have...
You're a therapy gecko.
But if you do have a genuine desire to quit, I would, as always, recommend that you seek some form of legitimate help. What was the thing that you wanted to tell me that happened to you 2 months ago?
Me and my buddies, we all left her house because they had to go to the gas station and go get wraps. Well, we were just going to get wraps, so we didn't carry nothing on us. Well, as soon as we leave out their house, go down the street, there's a cop sitting right across the street. So, you know, we turn right. As soon as we get down a little down the road, the cop pulls out. When we get down to our gas station, you know, the cop blue lights us, so we get pulled over. Well, because he knows the people in the car, and he said that he smelled marijuana, he said that he could, he told me to get out of the car, and I got out. I was straight with him. I told him, you can search the car, there's nothing in there. And so I let him search the car. They didn't find nothing. Well, I had jail tabs. The jail LSD, and I had paper LSD on me right there. Like real stuff, not fake. Well, I shit you not. When they searched that car, another cop came. They searched that car again. They found it. He brought that up, pointed it right in my face. He was like, what are these? I told him they were stamps. You lick them and you put them on there. And he looked at them and they're like, these are stamps? I've never seen stamps like this before. He was like, I'm going to have to go do a little more research on these. So he takes them, you know, goes back to his car. I'm still standing there thinking, oh man, I'm about to go to fucking jail for life. Because one tab is apparently like a manslaughter charge or something, or like conspiracy against the government. And I had 8 of them. So I was like, oh fuck, bro, I'm gone. But he tells me to go over there. He was like, these aren't acid stamps, are they? Because I looked up stamps, and that's the slang word for acid. I was like, no, they're just stamps. You lick them and put them on the envelope. He was like, he was like, okay, I'm going to take your word on that. I'm going to take it to the lab and test them. If anything comes back, we're going to come and get you. I was like, they're just stats. Well, let alone, he let me go. I like, dude, I shit my pants. He let me go. I sat back in my car. But literally, the paper tabs were sitting on my front seat. I got it back in my car. They were just sitting right there. As soon as I opened my door, I was like, what the fuck? How'd they not even take those? But they took my jail tabs. That's it. So, yeah, that was a ramble. I'm sorry.
They just flat out believed that they were stamps?
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm... Okay. There's some worse to it. The cop was sort of acting like buddy-buddy to me. I ain't gonna lie. Because I'm just gonna say that. And, well, I asked the... as soon as that cop said, these are acid stamps, I told him... I was like, no, what is acid? He was like, oh, that's a bad drug, but I'm pretty sure that guy's tried it. He pointed at this other cop inside his car, and that cop started laughing. Hmm. So I'm pretty sure they knew what it was. They took the shit, and they had a good night.
Really? So they did confiscate it from you.
Yeah. They didn't wrap it up or anything. They just pretty much, they were holding it. Like, they didn't have it in, like, no fucking evidence bag or nothing. The cop was like, you ain't gonna have to pay nothing tonight. Like, you're good to go. Y'all can leave. Like, they were, like really buddy-buddy cops. They ain't gonna lie. And they found that shit.
Listen, banana. Look, what's up? Thank you for sharing, with us again. I appreciate that you feel comfortable enough to share this stuff with us and everything. I am concerned though, because you sound like you got very, if I don't know where you live, I don't know what the laws are, whatever, but if what you are telling me is true and you had enough acid on your person to send you to jail forever, you got really lucky.
Very lucky. I predict there were three other people in my car. That shit was horrible for me. Because when he brought that shit right up in my face, dude, I literally put my hands behind my back like I was in handcuffs. And he, like, I thought they were like, what the fuck? Dude, then he was like, what are these? I told him they were just dance. And he literally, started talking to me normal.
Banana, you know, okay, look, you got really lucky. You got really lucky. Okay. And again, I'm not a real counselor. I'm an insane man in a gecko costume on the internet. But, and I don't have any, like, advice for you necessarily, but I do hope that you take... How long ago did this happen?
That happened, like, 2 months ago, man. Two or three months ago.
Are you still selling?
Yes. But I stay out of that area. I try to. Because I got pulled over 3 times and maybe in a week and a half span, and they didn't give me no tickets except one time.
Well, Banana, listen, again, this is definitely above my pay grade to advise you as to what to do. But just as an entity of some kind that would like to see you avoid going to jail forever and avoid causing hurt to your family, I do genuinely hope that you find a better alternative to making money than doing this. Because, dude, you know how lucky you got, and I don't want you to be in that position again, right? Because, hey, you might not get so lucky again.
The acid's just paper. Like, most cops don't even know what that shit is. Can I tell one more story?
We're definitely you know, I know you have a lot of stories about this, but I really want like you to leave at least this call with like, fuck man, the sentiment that like whatever it is, I don't know you man, I've only been talking to you for 20 minutes, but I hope that whatever it is that keeps you living this pretty dangerous lifestyle, that you find a way to get out of it. Because again, I'm a broken record here, but you know, you got very lucky. And I assume that doing what you do, I would have to assume you live in consistent anxiety every single day of getting caught.
I really don't. I don't.
You don't?
No. Getting caught for what? Say what? What in particular? Like, you think the police are gonna come and just raid my house?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think that, I don't know, man. I'm just a gecko guy on the computer, but I can only wish that that you do whatever's best for you, Banana.
Look. Okay, can I give like one piece of advice? Cops do not search the gas canisters. You know, like where you click the button and where you like pop the shit, right? You don't even have like, sorry, no, hold on, I'm stumbling over my words. Just wherever like the area opens up, you just stick your weed right there. Don't, dude, they never search that gas area.
Banana, thank you for calling and good luck to you.
Hopefully I can meet you again, sir.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online option for therapy. With video, voice, and texting chat options with a licensed therapist that can be done completely at your own pace and on your own schedule. You don't need to leave your house. You don't need to sit in traffic. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with one of several therapists on the platform. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge until you find one that works for you, and you can communicate with your therapist as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. It's never a bad idea to find someone qualified to talk to about your issues and get some guidance on them. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/gecko today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gecko. Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Liquid Death. Perhaps you've noticed a coworker cracking a tall boy in your 9 a.m. meetings, or caught your designated driver downing one while on the road. Well, it may look like a beer or some crazy energy drink, but it's not. It's Liquid Death. Liquid Death is a healthy beverage brand that makes mountain spring water, low-sugar sodas, and low-sugar iced teas. Personally, I don't know what it is about drinking water from a can, but I will attest that it does, for some reason, make it taste better. I'm also a big fan of the low-sugar iced teas. They're very good for when you want something sweet and carbonated, but you don't want the caffeine of a diet soda. You can get free shipping of Liquid Death's Mountain Water, flavored sparkling water, and iced tea 8-packs with Amazon Prime, or grab a can or a case at your local 7-Eleven, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, or on Instacart. Go to liquiddeath.com/gecko to check out all their healthy, infinitely recyclable beverages and find your closest retailer. That's liquiddeath.com/gecko. liquiddeath.com/gecko. Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BarkBox. Shopping for humans is hard, but shopping for your dog is easy thanks to BarkBox. Your dog deserves to be spoiled, and BarkBox sends your dog a whole new collection of toys and treats made just for them every single month. Whether it's fun-themed plush toys from BarkBox or ultra-tough toys for ultra-tough dogs from Super Chewer, they can give your dog exactly what they want. I've got a golden retriever back home named Sophie that I'll send bark boxes to every month, and I am always getting texts from my mom about how much Sophie loves her new toys and treats, and I get pretty cute pictures of her playing with the toys. For a limited time, BarkBox will double your first box for free. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/gecko. Sign up now at BarkBox.com/gecko for this exclusive offer. This ad is now over, so let's get back to petting our dogs.
Hi. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, is this Mr. Gecko?
This is a gecko. What is your name?
Alexis.
Alexis, what's going on with you today in the world?
You know, I mean, the hardships of being an adult, everything's so expensive. I'm quite talking to my mom's very excited. Yes, my mom's excited. She loves you too.
Oh, that's you seem like you have a good relationship with your mom.
On and off, yeah.
Why? Where is it today? Are we on today?
We're on today. You know, everything is going good. I got groceries and stuff, so the house is taken care of. It's all pretty good.
So it says here that you met a guy on a sugar daddy website, mm-hmm. but it hasn't been going mm-hmm. well. Why has that not been going well?
Well, you know, I was forthcoming about, like, hey, I'm struggling paying rent. It's hard for my mom to keep a dog. So I live in the Bay Area. Everything is just super expensive. And he knows that. And I kind of talked with him today being like, I'm kind of just living off credit. And when I went to the grocery store, it was just like, oh my God, is my credit card going to work today? Am I maxed out? And I'm like, man, you know, it's really hard. And he's like, oh, well, you know what? You should like go to a food bank. I'm sure there's a lot of good ones around. I'm like, you know what the deal is. We met on seeking arrangements, so why are you telling me to go to a food bank?
So what is the goal here? Are you so have you met up with this guy in person before?
Yeah, I met with him like 2 times, and you know, he's a very nice, sweet dude. He's, you know, he's like only 30, I'm 22, and you know, he's really nice, and he's like, yeah, I definitely want to help you out and stuff like that. And, you know, he filled up my car for me when I went to go meet him. Just went on, like, a couple dates and stuff. And I told him, like, hey, you know, when you're comfortable, I'm cool to come to your house and stuff. But, you know, I'm like, I feel like he's not going to come through, and I don't want to be rude or pushy and be all like, hey, give me money right now. But I'm like, I need money. Please.
This see, I don't know what to tell. I don't know necessarily the etiquette of the sugar daddy, sugar baby universe here. But I will say, if this guy that you met on this, if your whole thing is that you want to find a sugar daddy. And you're willing to, and again, I don't know what sort of things are bringing in the big bucks. I don't know how much you have to do. I don't know what you're personally comfortable doing. I don't know any of the, I don't know the universe super well. But if your goal is to find a guy who's going to give you a bunch of money and this guy isn't it, why, you know, of the whatever thousands of guys on seeking arrangements, why are you stuck with this guy? Why don't you go find more guys if this is in fact the way that you know that you want to do it?
I am a little bit scared, and like, this guy, it's very promising just because we click really well, mm-hmm. but it's just like, I'm very scared because it's like, you know, a lot of people come in and be all like, if you need me with me right now and have sex, and I'll give you $100 or whatever, and I'm kind of like, ugh. And, like, this was the first guy that was actually, like, a very nice, normal, decent person, you know. He was saying, you know, I do want to spoil you. How about I give you, like, $300 every time we, like, meet up for a date and stuff like that and see if we get along. And, you know, I want to spoil you with gifts. And I'm like, cool. We went on 2 dates. You know, he paid for the meal. He filled up my car. And he's like, yeah, you know, I definitely want to help you. Let's go on a few more dates. And I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, kind of, you know. Can you help me, please?
This is, why are you afraid to ask him for money? If, I mean, look, you sought an arrangement, as did he.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the writing is on the wall as to sort of the arrangement, which is, you sort of, again, I don't know the universe that well, so this is just me sort of making this up from thin air, but the arrangement being sought is that he gives you money and you in turn spend romantic and, I guess, implied sexual time with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So, I'm scared to turn him off. And he'll be like, yeah.
So are you afraid to reinforce the sort of grounds of the arrangement by saying, hey, listen, you know, I'll go out on a date with you, but this ain't Tinder. This is seeking arrangements. You got to pay me for this.
Yeah, I'm just scared to be... I'm not very confrontational, you know. I'm a Cancer, mm-hmm. So it's very hard for me to just be like, hey, we know what the deal is.
Well, I mean, look, and by the way, maybe you ask a more seasoned sugar baby about the best way to go about it, but... you know, you might have to get a little bit confrontational and just, it's not a confrontation. Don't look at it as a confrontation, but, look, you know, you got to go out there. You got to lay out again, the grounds of the arrangement. Let me bring up one other thing, by the way, before we, and again, I think that any way that you could make money is you know, I'm not going to say it's not a legitimate way, but like, have you considered other ways of making money? If this is like, you know, because you sound like you have safety concerns, which are very legitimate concerns. And, you know, you sound like you're, I don't know. I'm not going to put words in your head, but you sound like you don't want to have sex with people for money. Have you thought about other ways that you could make money outside of seeking arrangements?
I have a full-time job. I work at Tesla, and it's like, you know, the pay is good. It's just, I try to work overtime as much as I can, and it's just, it's killing me. But I'm not going to go just get another part-time job, because overtime, I'd probably be making like 30 to 40 bucks an hour if I worked, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. You know, it's just like, I don't know, I just need like, just a little bit of that help for just a little bit longer until my mom can hold a job. And I like to have sex. It's fine, but...
I'm sorry I laughed, but I was just... I feel like if you work at... I feel like... So you work at Tesla?
Yep.
Full-time. Fortune 500 company. Yeah. Full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So where are your money struggles... lying? Is it that you're trying to support your mom and you don't make enough money to support both you and her? Where is the what's the sort of the big money issue that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, it's just I'm paying all the bills by myself. We moved into this place recently and my mom kind of just, she can't hold a job. She kind of just walks off and then doesn't want to like stay, or she doesn't want to go back, and then it's kind of just all falls on me. And I had a boyfriend who worked at Tesla, and he helped me out a little bit, but things just got really, really bad between us, so I had to kind of be like, we're done, and now it's just kind of all on me, and I'm like, oh gosh, okay, well, I need to do something that's just kind of quick, easy money to just make sure rent's paid on time, to make sure we can have groceries and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, if you've explored other ways of trying to make a little bit of side hustle money and you've decided that this is the right one for you, then, you know, don't be afraid to be confrontational as to the nature. Because, like, at the end of the day, seeking arrangements, the sugar baby, sugar daddy arrangement is a business transaction. And if, you know, I am a freelance anything, if I'm a freelance photographer or a freelance artist or a freelance girlfriend, I should really have no problem with asking people to pay their invoices. And that's just a part of being a freelancer, whatever it is you are freelancing. So if this is the side hustle that you have decided to pursue, I invite you to look at this as an opportunity to do one of the necessary parts of freelancing, which is asking to get paid.
Yeah, I think, you know, it seems silly, but talking to you actually helps make me feel better.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Give your best to, I was about to say give your best to my mom, but you're not, you don't know my mom. Give.
Well, I do give her my best.
To your mom, and thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Hello, is this Lee?
Yes, this is Lee.
Lee, it says here that you have an obsession with lawnmowers. You currently have 6 of them.
Yes.
But you want more.
Yes, I do want more.
And what is driving this obsession?
Well, honestly, like when you sit there and you work on these lawnmowers, and once you get them running and you can just ride around on them, and it's like a reward in itself. You can line them up and you can take pictures of them. You know, they're a lot cheaper than cars. They're easier to get a hold of. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say. No. I now that you've explained it and you've sort of analogized it to the types of people who have like garages and garages of cars and the big car people, it actually makes a lot of sense why you would be obsessed with lawnmowers, because not everybody has the financial tools to keep cars and cars of, to keep garages and garages of, you know, collectible cars. But, you know, collecting lawnmowers, being a lawnmower enthusiast, a lot more affordable of a hobby with a very similar sort of idea behind it. You know, there's engines, there's models, there's all the sort of same stuff to geek out over as there is in the car world.
Exactly. And you see, like, people have told me that I have a problem. Like, I just get too many of them. I don't see it that way. Like, because, like, literally, like, every 2 weeks, I'll either, like, just get another one or just trade one of the ones I currently have for a different one. Like, I'm always on the search for a new type of lawnmower I haven't had before.
And is there a particular...
And the crazy part is...
Speaks to you the most?
Yes. The 1960s Sears Customs are my favorite. They just... They hit so different. Well, because... They are, like, the simplest. Like, you just pull the starter, and it's got one little belt that turns the whole thing. And it's just such a simple machine, but yet it's so capable. Like, they can do so much. Like, it's so much more than just a lawnmower. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. How many lawnmowers
and the
throughout the course of your life do you hope to own?
Oh, like, from the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. Ooh.
When will you...
Oh, man, I don't see myself stopping before 100.
Until you gaze upon them and go, that is enough.
Well, I'd say at one time, I'd say I could handle 15 at one time. But all the different kinds I would like to have, I don't see myself stopping before 100 or so, you know? And the crazy part is, I don't even like mowing my grass. I just like the mowers themselves.
So you don't even mow your lawn with them?
Well, I have like one or two that I do mow my lawn with. I just don't like mowing the lawn. I just like the lawnmower themselves.
Do you like to ride the mowers?
Yes. I will actually like, get on one of my lawnmowers, and I'll go check the cows. I'll go get my mail. Next weekend, I'm planning on driving it all the way to the grocery store just because I can, you know?
Do they have parking for lawnmowers?
Not specific parking, but the way I look at it, like, what are they going to tell me to do? Just move the lawnmower? I mean, once it's there, I don't really think anybody will do anything about it.
That's true.
Yeah, because, like, there'll be stuff, like, right down the road that I could easily just drive my vehicle to. But I'll prefer to take the lawnmower just because there's a different feel to it.
Do you know anyone else who's obsessed with lawnmowers, or are you alone in this hobby?
Well, I have a lawnmower group of friends. Now, they don't have as many as I do, but we do have, like, this little group where we'll go ride lawnmowers together.
Like a sort of lawnmower gang.
Yeah, it's called Mower Mafia. And we'll get together and we'll just ride the lawnmowers and then we'll talk about them. Mm. Yeah.
Do you guys ever go to war with other lawnmower clubs?
Well, we haven't come across any other ones yet. We're like a pack of wolves just running the area, the lawnmower area, you know?
Right, running your turf.
Yeah, turf. That's a good analogy since it's lawnmowers.
What did you say your name was?
Lee.
Thank you for calling, Lee.
Yeah, you have a nice night, Mr. Gay.
Hello, Forrest.
Hey, what's up?
Forrest, it says here that you wanted to talk about your sugar addiction.
Yeah, we could definitely talk about that. I was just, I finally finished all the podcasts, and I remember that being one of the older episodes, I think, and I also have a sugar addiction, and take better care of myself.
Sad to report that although you may have heard me complain about having a sugar addiction in an older episode of the podcast, that today, as of this recording, on January 31st, on 2022, I still have quite the addiction to sugar. What's your game? What's your stuff? What's your poison? What's your vice? Butterfingers?
Right now?
Jelly beans? What do you do?
Oh, dude.
What's killing you?
Dude, I do a Sonic Blast with Butterfingers and Oreos. You get both. And it's a dynamite combination, dude.
You ever had, during Halloween, Baskin-Robbins will do this flavor of Oreo called Oreo Trick or Treat. And it's fucking Oreo cookie with Butterfinger and Babe Ruth and I think Heath Bar all in one ice cream thing.
That sounds heavenly. That sounds fantastic.
Here's my thing. Tell me if you can relate to this at all. Because I'm going to give you sort of my thoughts about my whole thing, and then I want to hear yours. I'm so glad we can talk about this, because most of my friends are, like, pretty, like, normal people when it comes to, like, how they eat and stuff, and I'm kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
I am back
Same.
And forth.
Yeah.
I'm back and forth between... My life would be a lot better. I'd feel better. I used to care about looking good. Now I don't. I only care about feeling good. But I would feel a lot better if I ate correctly. I didn't indulge, and did push-ups. Blah blah blah. Whatever. But I also fucking love. I love eating Oreo trick-or-treat ice cream. I love eating food, trying different foods, different candies, whatever. There are definitely lots of times in which I overdo it and it's like totally overindulging. But would my life be easier if I just continued living the way I lived, but made it an intentional decision and I was like, all right, I'm not going to beat myself up over this anymore. I'm just going to live this way unapologetically. And I'm in between those two things where if you're going to, you know, eat a bunch of bad shit, but then feel bad about it, then why are you even doing it? If you're going to do it, you just commit to doing it. You should be like, yeah, fuck it. I'm eating a Butterfinger breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Fuck it. This is my life. I accept it. You'll be happier. Or you just go all in and you go, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And, you know, but sitting on the fence like this is what's causing me the distress. Can you relate to that at all?
Yeah, yeah. I can relate to that, like, radical acceptance of Baskin-Robbins for sure. You know, just, I don't know, man. It's definitely, I feel like for me, it's a combination of a bunch of different things. I think, well, the first thing is that, like, I'm highly distractible. And so with any food, if I just have, like, a source of it somewhere near me, which is usually the case, I'll just go through the whole fucking thing without realizing, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one thing that I know about me. But, yeah, what else? It's
like the
also
kind of thing,
like,
where, like, you'll be like, oh, there's a box of Cheez-Its, like a whole box. And it'll start going on before you know it, you ate the whole thing.
Bro, it's funny you said Cheez-Its. I was literally taking care of my friend's dog, and they had a, I was like, oh shit, they had a family size thing of Cheez-Its in the cupboard. And like, I'm going to munch on these. And then over the weekend, I just ate the whole damn thing by myself. I gave like 5 Cheez-Its to the dog. Mm-hmm. And the rest are for me.
I always, every time there's a situation like that, I always sort of like overestimate what amount of the box other people have eaten.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh man, I can eat the whole box. I gave the dog 10 Cheez-Its where really you gave them only 5. You know, I do that kind of thing.
It's like the whole heap problem where, you know, like you have enough to say it's like a heap of something. But then, you know, eventually it gets smaller and smaller. And then all of a sudden it's just like a few crumbs left over. So then you can't like justify it anymore. You got to strike that balance.
So have you ever made an attempt to cut out or just in general to eat healthier, live better, all that stuff?
I've done really well before, actually. Like, so I guess I should say I have ADHD, right? But I also have looked a lot into how to kind of work with that and have been able to, in the past, tailor my surroundings to make it easier for me to make those decisions. Because a big thing with ADHD is impulsivity. And then I also, like, personally I have no sense of time. Or, you know, kind of talking earlier about the, you know, just mindlessly snacking, a lot of that. But like, yeah, I'd always been like lifting weights ever since high school. And then there's a point there where I was like in really great shape. You know, I was like bench pressing like a little bit more than my body weight and like twice my, and I'd squatting like twice my body weight. And yeah, I wasn't like eating sugar at all, besides like natural sugar and fruits and stuff, of course. But yeah, and then I just like, you know, it's this ebb and flow. It's like, you know, you flow into the deluge of like garbage food, right? And then you come out after you've had enough, and then, you know, you just go back down, but it's just over a long period of time.
Yeah. So you've had multiple periods where you were like, there wasn't a sort of first half in shape, second half out of shape. It was like a little bit of time in shape, you know, a little bit of time out of shape, a little bit of time in, a little time out, like sort of a back and forth type of thing.
Yeah, it's that classic sort of yo-yo, right?
Yeah.
But I've always, like, loved food. And that's the thing is that, you know, I go back to it because, you know, it just tastes so good. And, you know, I get really into cooking. That's usually what brings me back into it because I, like, make some homemade cookies or some shit. And I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot about these.
That's one of the tough things is that you can't, like, achieve fitness in the same way that you can achieve climbing to the top of a mountain. It's like it's an ever demanding thing to stay in shape. You know, I've gotten I'm a little bit like you, ebb and flow. I've gotten in shape many times, but you really need to have it be a permanent lifestyle change to stay there. I'm like you. I love food, man, and so you know it's hard to stay in the healthy lifestyle mindset for so long. I mean, you can do the keto, you can do the whatever, you can do I'm gonna only eat vegetables every Tuesday, whatever your thing is. But if you can't do that for your entire life, you're eventually gonna balloon back up.
Yeah, you're just gonna die eventually. You know, you're just gonna. I think that you can do it. I think you can have a good balance of both. It'll eventually happen. I feel like for the both of us. But you just gotta accept that you're gonna be like somewhere in the middle, you know, and then eventually it'll just like level out there.
What'd you say your name was?
My name's Forrest.
Forrest, I will see you at Pizza Day at Planet Fitness.
All right, man. You have a good night, my gecko friend.
Take care, baby.
Hey, folks. This episode is sponsored by Factor. Factor is a meal prep service that eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. I've been using Factor myself a ton this year to help me lose weight, and they make it easy by having the nutritional information of each meal listed right on the box, which is sometimes a bit harder to calculate when you're eating out. Every one of their meals comes to your door fresh, they're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I just had their chicken tikka masala for dinner tonight. I had their pesto salmon last night, and they were both very, very good. Head to factormeals.com/gecko50 and use the code GECKO50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code GECKO50 at factormeals.com/gecko50 for 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds, and you can make entries on the NBA, the NHL, and college basketball. PrizePicks was able to graciously set me up with an account for myself, which I used to make some picks for the NBA, and I made a little bit of extra money, which I, of course, put safely away into government bonds to prepare for my future. Just kidding, I spent it on candy. Download the PrizePicks app today and use the code GECKO for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code GECKO for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hello?
Hello, is this Eden?
Yes. Hi, Lyle.
Hello, Eden. How are you?
Oh, I am fan-fucking-tastic now.
Eden, you brought up two things that you wanted to talk about. One was about your jaw, and the other one was that you said you're having a gender crisis. Now, of those two things, let's talk about one or the other.
Personally, I'd prefer to talk about the gender issue, but you can pick, really.
Sure, let's talk about the gender issue. But do you have pronouns or an identity of which that you would like us in the chat to refer to you by at this current moment?
Right now, we're just going to go for they, them pronouns.
Beautiful.
And, like, just neutrality. I got no
so,
idea.
So, what is this crisis, Eden?
So, in 2014, I came out as a trans man, and so I came out as and started transitioning.
Real quick, before it, but am I on like speakerphone or headset or like anything other than you just holding the phone up to your mouth?
Yeah, let me fix that.
Beautiful.
Is that better?
Much better. Continue. What were you saying? You said something about 2014.
Okay, yeah. So I came out as trans. I came out as a trans man, female to male, in 2014. And started my transition from there. Just so that I can put my headphones through. Okay. So I've been living my life as a man almost 8 years now? And
damn, that is almost 8 years.
Yeah. May 2014 is when I came out.
Time ago. Sorry, I interrupted you with my realization of the passage of time.
No, you're all good. It's been a fat fucking minute. So I was engaged to another trans man for a couple of years. And at some point in our relationship, I realized that I don't identify as a man anymore. Mm-hmm. And the thing is I got top surgery. So I got my breasts removed. I got my name legally changed. I look like a man. I've lived my life as a man for, you know, my entire adult life so far. I'm almost 21. And, you know, I have been since fucking middle school. And I couldn't talk to him about it because he wasn't able to get surgery. He wasn't able to change his name. And he got personally very offended that I could have regrets about these privileges that I was given. Mm. And so he made his issues mine, and it just forced me back into the closet, basically. And so the best that I could get away with without starting a fight at home was coming out as non-binary. So I've been living my best they-them life for like 8 months, but I'm still not happy.
So
and
you're... No, go ahead. I want to let you finish before I chime in.
Okay, no worries. But... See, it all came to a head this morning. So I started dating a cis man. So I started dating a man who was born with a penis, right? And
so you broke up. So you broke up with the other guy that you were seeing.
Yeah, yeah, we broke up like 6 months ago. And so I'm dating a new guy now, and I just got a new job. He bought me a pair of work pants from the women's section, and they gave me Kim Possible vibes. I felt like Kim Possible wearing them, and it made me fucking sob. I was like, holy shit. But, you know, and it was this sense of gender euphoria that I haven't felt in fucking years. And like, I just realized I want to wear dresses, and I want to have long hair, and I want to be pretty, and I don't want to be his boyfriend. I want to be his fucking girlfriend. And like, it's just, I spent so long working the transphobia out of my family and working my way into being respected as a man, only for all of this to come tumbling down, and I want to undo it. And it's just like, oh my, the trauma. I don't want to go through the trauma again, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I've been listening. I started from the very beginning of, you know, what you've uploaded on Spotify, and I've met you, and I have talked before. You and I and my friend Shannon have talked a few months ago in September when I first got diagnosed with borderline personality disorder.
I remember.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Yes.
Well, so
I've missed you.
So listen. All right. So Let's see. Okay, so you were born female. You had top surgery.
Yes, sir.
You came out in as a trans man in 2014. You had your surgery. And you lived as a trans man for 8 years, you said.
Yeah.
And then now you tried on the Kim Possible pants. And am I hearing that you are like, oh shit, now you want to like, you know, be more feminine, and you're looking to, here's the thing with all this, by the way, is like, maybe mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of like sunk cost fallacy here where like, oh, you lived as one thing for so long, right? And you did all that work to like convince your family, you know, you have to deal with, you just have to deal with a bunch of bullshit for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And so now you're like, well, fuck, I have to deal with all that bullshit, and now I want to go back, and is that, and that's fucking with you?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and I just want to move away and start over where nobody knows who the fuck I am, and I can just be me without having to explain the transness, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just started this job and I don't have any fucking money, and like, oh, it's so obnoxious. Why did I have to have this realization at 7 in the morning putting on a pair of pants?
By the way, okay, listen. I know you're looking at this, and by the way, I want to disclaim this real quick, because I like to disclaim this when I'm dealing with these kinds of issues, because I am a cis straight guy, so I can't truly empathize with what you're going through. So I like to disclaim that up front before I talk about these kind of things, so that people aren't like, because you know, it's important to disclaim that. But I do feel like it's one of the things of like feeling like, you know, I think it's a good thing to like change, go back and forth. Like, that's a strength. It's a strength to like know, oh, this isn't for me, I gotta go back, right? Because if you truly do feel like you're a woman and you want to go back to living like that, why should the past define whether or not you can do that? Right? Why be chained? And I get it. I get that you're like, fuck, I just went through all that stuff. I lived 8 years. But like, you're not chained to the past, right? I get where these feelings are coming from. At least I think I did. But
yeah.
I don't feel like you should be chained to the past. Like, how old are you? 21?
Yeah, almost. I turned 21.
You're
21. In
March. Well, shit, dude. Like, you're 21. You have years and years and years ahead of you to go live as a beautiful woman and wear all the dresses you want. And you know, why at 21 would you want to be like, well, I've lived this way my whole life, so I have to live the rest of my life this way? I don't know.
That is a good point.
That's how I feel.
That's pretty much what my boyfriend said, but it hits different coming from you for some reason.
I have the gecko.
You've got that third party.
But
right.
No, I mean that's how I feel, is like, you know, if you've been living the way that you've lived in the past, shouldn't have any, you know, effect on how you live to the future. Right? Like, whatever, man. Put that chapter behind you. And fucking go live. Go be a woman for a year. Be non-binary for, do what, swipe and swipe. Do, who cares? Why are you ever, you're never beholden to be what you once were. Right? You know?
Right.
That's how I feel. I don't know if this was helpful. Again, you know, I'm happy to talk about these things, but I don't like talk about them too much because I'm, you know, I can't fully empathize with the situation and not my place and all that. But, you know, I hope that was helpful.
No, it was. It was. And like, I don't know, you were one of the first people that I thought of when the whole realization came. Because, you know, I work 8.5-hour days and I listen to your show on Spotify. I started from the very first Spotify episode and I'm just listening from the fucking beginning, you know? I fucking, like, I don't know, every time something, I emailed you a couple months ago, every time something big happens, I just want to know what the fucking Gek thinks. I would just, you know, like, I don't know. I know you're not like a real therapist, but you're a real person and you have good things to say. You have good input, usually.
Well, thank you very much, Eden. Again, wishing you the courage to not let the past define you, giving you Gecko energy. And thank you for calling, Eden. You have a good rest of the night. Cal?
Yes. Is Lyle?
What's up, Cal?
Hey, Lyle. So, I kind of want to talk today. It seems like the subject has kind of been changing to morality, and this kind of fits me. I really haven't told anyone this other than the screener before. I'm going to make it short. And, you know, this is a no-judgment-free zone. So, a little background. I train people how to fly planes and small-engine planes. And normally, there's weight limits. Well, I had someone that was critically obese, let's say about 350 pounds. Well, I didn't want to fly them because it's a safety issue. My boss is money hungry. So because of that, I was doing things that I could legally do, like taking out fuel and not being able to complete all the flights I could. Well, one day, he's good enough to go for like a check to see his performance. So my boss has got to fly him. Well, they weren't able to complete the whole flight because of his weight. And so the boss sits there and gets a scale out, and it's one of these old medical scales in his office. And they're all standing there. He hops on the scale. They're looking at it, trying to size it up. And I might have put my foot on there to make it exaggerate even more than what he already weighs. So because of that, it shows that he's about right around 400. And our boss tells him, you know, he can't fly anymore, and the kid is heartbroken. But my morality is in question because I've done something wrong. This kid has spent thousands of dollars, but now he's lost like over 100 pounds and is trying to get back into flying. So I also feel partially responsible for his newfound success and for him to further on. And I can't tell anybody or say anything about it because I feel so wrong about what I did in that room. And it was just me that knows.
So here's what I don't fully, here's what I kind of want some clarification on is, so this kid was too obese to fly safely.
Correct.
And you said you put a little bit of, you said you sort of fucked with the weighing process and put a little bit of extra weight on him. Do you think that had you, I mean, if he was already obese, did the extra weight that you put on the scale even affect the sort of final decision of whether or not he could fly?
You know, and that's a good question. I like to think, I tell myself that maybe I wasn't all responsible for it because I did just put my foot on the back, but I had seen him around. It's a small town in a grocery store, and the cart is full of more 2 liters than anything I've ever seen and more Little Debbie cakes than any actual greens or foods. So maybe he actually did weigh that, is what I tell myself at night to sleep better. But I don't know, Gek, and it ate me alive. But again, I still feel partially responsible for his success to lose over 100 pounds and be able to safely return to flying.
So why, again, another sort of clarification is, why did you put your foot on the scale? Was the intention so that, was it like you had the intention to protect him? Was it that you just didn't want to fly in a plane with him because you were afraid? You know, what was the intention behind that?
Okay, well, to be completely honest, when I first met him, I was very honest. I said, hey, your weight is pretty high. If you want to be a professional pilot one day, like, you're going to have to lose your weight.
Well, he found a doctor that says he's good to go, which should have been a red flag. And then I'm having to take out a lot of fuel out of the plane. So instead of doing 2 to 3 hour flights, I'm only able to do 1 hour. And he says he's losing weight and he's drinking water around me, which I think is Sprite. And so I was like, you know what? My boss is money hungry. This kid doesn't want to listen to me. It seems like nobody in the world was listening to me when I'm just trying to be safe. So I was like, if he steps on the scale and he did, I was like, I'm going to put my foot on the back of it.
Yeah, this is a classic, like, this is a classic thing of a moral dilemma where you perform an action that you seem to, and again, I'm not here to interpret what is or is not moral. I'm just talking along with you as you're sort of telling me all this. So you're doing what you consider to be an immoral action by putting your foot down on the scale, and you're doing it with what could be considered a virtuous intention, which is trying to keep this guy from being in a plane that crashes to the ground and kills everyone in it.
Yeah, but it almost feels like, you know, we were talking earlier in the show, you're talking about, you know, what is life and who is me and where are we, the real me? The real question I have is, then it kind of drives me to, like, who do I talk to if I can't talk to anyone? Well, in Catholicism, they talk to the priest and they give off their sins and they do a Hail Mary and then they're let go. Where is my redemption in that? And does the priest even feel the type of weight of their sins? Like, how do they go on with their day?
Are you a Catholic?
I am agnostic.
Okay, so you feel as though you have a heavy weight to bear with your own actions and what you consider to be sins, and you're sort of left to your own devices on how to sit with these things.
Yeah, and then the worst part is when I tell you it's a small town, it's a small town. I don't tell people what I do for a living. I like to say that I teach, and I meet a girl, and she's talking about how she's been on her little brother, about losing weight. And I'm like, oh, I know what you mean. I kind of have a student. I really need to lose weight. And then it turns out that she's actually related to him because she just randomly name dropped him one time. And I get scared because I'm like, oh, my God. The universe is punishing me because I like this girl. And now I feel like, how am I ever going to overcome doing this to that kid? And then just keep this a secret forever? Where's my confession?
Are you against confessing? And even if you were to, who would you confess to? Would you confess to the kid? Are you still working with him?
I'm at a whole different place. I delete it. It was just toxic, and I was more scared of what if there's someone else like this, because I could see myself easily doing this again. But to confess to him, I would feel more comfortable confessing to the girl that's related to him, because, you know, maybe she can judge me for my character and say, maybe you did the right thing even though it was wrong. I don't know, Gex. I'm just morally confused, and it keeps me up. I can't even tell my friends about it because I'm scared of what they'll think.
I'll tell you the sort of thought in my head of, like, if you need something to do, because you seem like you need something to do. You have this, like, restless, again, armchair gecko therapy, but you have this, like, restless feeling within you that's caused by, like, you know, you feeling like you don't know whether or not you did the right thing. So, I don't know. We can't really take back our actions or anything. I mean, when you're referring to this whole thing of, like, you can go to the confessionary and you can tell the priest what you did and then it's absolved and you can move past it, you can move on. Maybe you just absolve yourself and then moving forward, right? Whatever sort of virtuous thing you were trying to accomplish, keeping this guy safe, encouraging him to be healthy, whatever it is that was your positive intention, continue to move forward with that positive intention, right?
Okay.
Continue to move forward.
So, Lyle, can I ask you a...
Sure. Again, you know, I'm talking out of my ass a little bit here, but hit me.
Oh, no, I think you're fine. And it kind of brings me to question of is how do we, like, we were talking about existential crisis issues. So how do we know who is the real Lyle? We know you as Geck and Lyle, but who is Lyle to Lyle?
Who is Lyle to Lyle? Oh, geez. I don't know. I'm a bunch of different things. Well, this is what I was talking about last stream. Is like, I don't know if there is a real me. I mean, this is whatever you see on this Twitch stream, obviously is not what I act like or who I am 100% of the time, but it's no more real or fake than how I act when I'm alone. And how I act when I'm alone is no more real or fake than how I act when I'm meeting a new person for the first time and going, hello, how are you? Up, 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 there. You know, they're all just versions of the self. Unranked, complete anarchy.
Is my version of the self when I step on that scale, is that just in only my truth because no one else knows that I did that?
Yeah, that's a version of who you are. At least, according to, you know, my haphazardly crafted philosophy of the real selves and whatever. Yeah, that's a version of who you are. Yeah, all the most terrible shit, not that I'm judging that as terrible, I'm just saying this separately, but all the most terrible shit you've ever done is probably you, but also all the greatest stuff you've ever done, that's you too. They coexist in a weird, smelly bubble of you know, blood and farts that is a human body and brain.
So how do I go about going forward and making sure that I don't do something like this again? Because maybe not in this situation of late, what if I see someone that is maybe, you know, not paying attention to the details or, for example, on their phone while they're flying, and then, you know, I kind of circumvene in another way that is maybe in the shadows, like how I did before. Am I right to do that, or am I not the moral authority to say what is good?
Here's the last thing I'll say about this is, in those situations that you just mentioned, look, your job, I don't know if you've told us explicitly what your job is, but you work in flying. You are in your classroom or whatever you call it with the flying guys, people. You are the safety authority. That's your job, is to keep people safe, right? So, like, that's your job in that whole sphere, is to keep people safe. So you don't have to do that shit in the shadows, right? If someone's on their phone while they should be paying attention to some flight shit, you can call them out on it. You can do whatever you were going to do in the shadows, just do it in the light. That's your job. You know, I wouldn't feel bad about that.
All right, so I guess another version of myself is just the safety element and don't be in the shadows about it and just say, hey, he's too fat.
Look, if he's too fat for him to fly safely, then fuck, you got to speak up. You got to be like, hey, he's too fat to fly safely. You're not being an asshole. You're just trying to protect him from crashing a plane and dying.
Thank you so much, Gag. I mean, I feel better now actually talking about.
Are you still here, Kyle? Did you cut out?
Yeah, I'm always here. I mean, the one thing that I love the most about it is, like you said, you take the authority, but be proud in the authority, but know what you're doing is just. And I think I've always just had conflicting feelings about what is just, because others might not see my reasoning for what is just.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
do you see it, though?
Man,
do you get
given
it?
You've given me much to think about, Alex. No, I don't know why I called you Alex. I'm terrible with names, Steve. I called another guy Alex today, and that was in his name. You've given me much to think about, Kyle. But I gotta get out of here before this gets too deep and before my head starts convulsing into some kind of black hole that cannot be reversed. But you know, thank you for bringing this to light with us, and hope you have a good rest of the night, Kyle.
Thank you, Lyle. Thank you for always being you.
Beautiful. Thank you, man. Hello?
Hey.
Is this Jack?
Yes, this is Jack.
Jack, it says here that you exclusively sit down when you pee, and that you have a reason.
Yes, why. I do.
That you would like to share with us.
Yes, I would like to share this with you. I was not expecting it. I'm thrilled right now that I'm on call, so I just want you to know that.
Thrilled to have
but,
you.
Yeah, I have a story behind that. I have a story behind that, and it is a traumatic one from when I was very young. Because whenever I tell people I sit down to pee, they're like, why don't you stand up? It's like, you're a guy, you know? But, so when I was around the age of 3 or 5, it was like 4 or 5, that age range, okay? You know how you're pretty short at that time, you know?
Oh, when you're 5 years old?
Child's pretty short. Yeah, a child is pretty short at like 5, yeah?
Children traditionally are very small, yes.
Yes. So, I have this vivid memory of the toilet falling down, like the seat falling down on me, and there was blood. It was painful, and my penis was injured, to say the least, that day, and that is the reason for why I sit down to pee. Most of the time,
the toilet
pretty much
seat
exclusively
fell. The toilet seat fell onto your penis.
Yes, when I was like 3 or 5. Yes, like 4 or 5. I mean, 4 or 5 age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We've got little Jack, and have the toilet seat up.
And, yes, toilet seat up. I'm king.
You're a small guy, so like the. So you're standing up, and the rim.
Yes,
of the
I am standing up. I was very young.
Is like so the rim of the.
Yeah, something I don't
is,
remember.
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry for. Yes.
The rim of the toilet seat, is. At exact penis level, and stop me if I have the incorrect. But the rim of the toilet.
No, you're
so
pretty
short.
Correct so far.
The. Your little penis is resting upon the rim of the toilet seat, and then the top two parts of the toilet, the bowl that you sit on and then sort of the lid, come crashing down and crush your little penis.
Yes, it was bloody. It was
really?
Bloody. This blood was
how
not
bloody,
red,
how
might
bad
I
are
add.
We talking?
This blood was. It was. I remember vividly. Remember there being. It wasn't like terrible, but there was quite a bit of blood, and it was not red, if I remember correctly. I do not remember this blood being red, or maybe my memory is completely wrong. But that was the weirdest thing. I'm like, was that blood? Was that maybe? I'm confused to this day what I saw, if I'm being completely honest, or if this is a child memory being incorrect. You know, because that is possible.
And
but
so,
I know for a fact this did happen.
Okay, and so how old are you now?
I'm 18.
You're 18, and how old were you when this happened?
Yeah. Like I said, I was about like 4 or 5 years old. I was very young.
4 or 5 years. Okay, so this is 13 years in the making. So for the following
yeah.
13 years, you only sat down when you peed.
I've had a few times where I stand up, but it's just I'm so used to sitting down at this point, I don't see the point to... I mean, obviously, I'll use a urinal if I'm at, like, a... you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right.
Like,
so
a urinal's different,
but
if I'm at... If I'm specifically at a toilet, though, I will sit down.
So this was my specific question. So this is not some form of medical issue.
No, this is not a medical
issue.
This is
not pee. This is a fear stemming from a traumatic event.
I mean, I'm not so much in fear anymore. I'm just lazy. I don't feel like aiming. But for a long time, this was a fear stemming from a traumatic experience.
I sit down when I pee all the time because I also am lazy. And if you're telling me I get to sit for like 2 minutes instead of standing?
Yeah, I don't get why there's
on my phone.
There's so much. It seems like there's so much like stigma against men sitting down to pee, and I think we need to get rid of that.
Fully agree.
Would you agree with me, Lyle?
Sitting down, fully agree with you. I think sitting down and peeing is the optimal strategy. You get to sit down, which is great, and you get to go on your phone. And also, almost every time I pee, if I ever have a boner, I'll always sit down when I pee because, you know, if you pee,
it's difficult. Like,
you know, splash. But even when I don't have a boner, I find myself getting splashing everywhere, and almost every time I stand up and when I pee, I'll pee a little bit on the rim, and then I'll have to go get a little piece of toilet paper and then clean.
Yeah, this is another reason.
The person that goes in next time is not like, hey, how come this guy peed all over the toilet seat? So I could skip that step if I would just sit down.
Yeah, I
like a man.
I hate it when I'm at work because whenever I work, I also see pee on the toilet sometimes. And it really, I'm like, man, I just want to sit down, you know? Got to grab the toilet paper, grab the little like seat cover because I don't want to sit in someone's piss. And especially for me, I work a 12-hour shift. And you think I want to stand up for that whenever I pee? No, I want to get a chance to rest.
Exactly. Take your breaks when you can get your breaks. And then another thing with the workplace is that if you're in a small office and you leave a little bit of pee on the toilet seat, someone might know that that's you. And then you're the guy.
They'll know.
Pee is on the toilet seat.
Good thing I don't work at a small office.
By just sitting down.
Yeah, I mean, I think, that was, I also have another funny story of when I was younger. It's very short. I just crashed a golf cart when I was really young.
Oh, sure. Can you tell
into a tree?
15 seconds.
Oh, yes, very quickly. I just, like, hopped in a golf cart, crashed into a tree while my parents and stuff were fishing, and I threw the keys in the water because to hide the evidence.
That was 6 seconds. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate talking to you, Lyle. I hope you enjoyed my traumatic story. Oh, were you going to cut me off or no? I don't know.
Oh, no, Jack. Jack, I get the sense that you're, like, wondering whether or not you're, like, doing an okay job at being on the phone right now, and I just want you to let you know that this is perfectly fine.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually don't, I mean, I'm not that stressed out right now, believe it or not. Because I'm kind of like you, when I don't, like, if I don't have, like, that view, because I know you talk, because I've listened to your podcast a lot recently, that was why I called, because I've known about you for, like, a few months now, but I've just more recently beginning into your work, and that's why I wanted to call in.
Well, goddamn! Thank you, Jack. I'm glad that you've. I appreciate all the kind words, and thank you for sharing your traumas with us, so that you know, all of the 6-year-olds that are listening to this podcast can be forewarned of the dangers of peeing while standing up.
Yeah, it's scary when you're young. It's scary.
Talk to you soon, Jack.
Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
I'm getting kind of hungry.
What are you craving?
I don't know. I've been eating a lot of Asian food lately. Like I had sushi for the first time like 2 weeks ago. Probably 2 weeks ago. So I've been eating a lot of sushi, ramen, Korean barbecue, Chinese food. I had udon for the first time. I don't know if it's the first time, but I had udon. That was pretty good. I could eat pizza. There's so many different kinds of food.
I think you should DoorDash yourself something.
Really? What should I DoorDash myself?
The first thing you thought of, you said Asian food.
Yeah. You know, it's enough about me. Diamond Tina, it says here you've been in a bunch of car accidents. One time even you crashed into your sister on purpose. Tell me about that.
Okay, so I was on like a probation with like the driver's license department. Like, because when you get into like car accidents or you get speeding tickets and stuff like that in Utah, you get points. And if you get too many points, you can get your license taken away.
Oh, I think
and so I had gone in. Oh, I wish. But I had got into a car accident. I had hit the back of someone's car, and I got I don't remember how many points you get till you get your license taken away, but I was like 1 point away. And then I had got a speeding ticket, and so I had went way over the points, and I was put on probation instead of getting my license taken away. And with that, I had to like not get any tickets for the whole year. And I was like 3 or 4 days away from getting off probation. And my sister had got pulled over, and she was on the run. So she used my name and got a speeding ticket on my name. And my mom called me, and she's like, hey, Maddie just used your name and you got a ticket and everything like that. And I was really angry. So I went to my mom's house, because that's where my sister lived, and she wasn't there because my mom told her I was on my way. So I just went and trashed her room because I was mad, and I was leaving, and I saw she was like hiding on the corner. And so I pulled up to her car and I said, hey, bitch. And then she ended up driving off, so I was just chasing her around. And she ended up driving back to my mom's house. And at that point, I felt like the only way to kind of get back at her was to hit her car. So she stopped in front of my mom's house, and I ended up just hitting the back of her car. And I just remember hearing my mom scream, what are you doing? And freaking out and everything like that. And I just felt so validated in that moment.
So the revenge served its purpose in making you feel better about yourself.
Kind of just, I feel like maybe about the situation, because I feel like my sister would always get into trouble, like with crazy things, but always get away with it.
Yeah.
And
she betrayed you.
My mom
she
didn't
used
never
your name, which then got you in trouble.
Yeah. And when I went to the police station to tell them, like, this was the wrong person, they were like, well, you need to bring her in so that we can make a report and everything like that. Hmm.
And so what is,
my mom eventually
and how long ago was this?
Oh, it was, like, last year.
Okay, and what is your relationship like with your sister now?
It's better. She's not, like, doing crazy hooligan stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that it's better. And you had gotten a lot of points on your license, you were telling me. What was it again that you said these points were from?
So, like, if you... my first points I got was I accidentally crashed into the back of someone's car. And I think I got, like, 49 points for that. And I think you, at 50, you'll get your license taken away. So when I got my speeding ticket a little, like, a few months later or, like, 5 months later... that's when I was put on probation.
What do you think it is that compels you to drive so recklessly?
I don't know. I even one time was driving home from work, and I was driving really fast. And like on these roads, it was kind of like farmland. So you like the roads were like super lonely, and they were dotted so you can pass people on them. And I was passing my coworker and ended up like flying off the side of the road and totaled my car.
It kind of sounds like the point system is working as it is intended to.
Oh, definitely. But it's been a long time since I've crashed a car.
Okay, so is there ways to get points? Is there a way to get points removed, or are points permanent?
No, you can get them removed. So, like, after a year, I think, like, half of them come off. And then you can take, like a safety class, kind of, and then get the rest taken off.
Okay. And are you working towards getting the rest of your points removed?
I think they have, like, already all came off, because that was, like, over 2 years ago. And I haven't done any... I've not pulled over anything since then.
Mm-hmm. It says here you're only 21 years old.
I'm 22. My birthday was on the 17th.
So how long have you been driving for?
Since I was 16.
Since you were 16. Okay, so you've had a solid 5 years to rack up a cute amount of points.
Yeah.
And, okay, moving forward. So, all right, there's a lot of elements here that I'm kind of interested in hearing about. There's the relationship with your sister, which you are telling me has been mended. There's your reckless driving habits. Have you made active effort to start driving less recklessly after all these incidents?
I feel like I wasn't intentionally trying to drive recklessly, but I feel like I don't speed as much anymore. I still do, good. Just not excessively.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And your viewpoint on revenge, the fact that the revenge that you tell of in this story made you feel good. Do you think that in the future you will continue to seek vengeance as heavily as you did in that one instance?
Definitely not, just because there was just a lot more to that, like a lot of more things that happened that caused that revenge. Like, my sister has even like caught, like, the middle school we went to, she caught it on fire. She's went on high speed chases. She's been with like stolen cars, and she just always seems to get away with those things. And my mom would never punish her either. So I feel like in my way, that was kind of me punishing her.
So it was a bit of vigilante justice.
Yes, for everybody.
And your sister, you say, burnt down a middle school.
Not like burnt it down, but there was like, they called it like the science hall. And she was like lighting the toilet paper on fire for some reason. And it just like caught the other roll on fire, and then just the whole bathroom caught on fire.
And what is it that is really, at the end of the day, fueling your desire to enact this vigilante justice? Is it and you say it's for the good of everyone. So is this necessarily, does this have to do with some belief that you have in law and order? Does this have to do with, you know, I don't know, jealousy of your sister's ability to continually evade punishment? Does it have to do with a dislike of your sister? What is the driving force behind your desire to restore balance, as it seems you feel as though you are doing?
I think I just wanted her to stop doing all that crazy stuff and just not like be a headache for everybody, because like at that time my mom wasn't like really involved in our lives too much, so like I would have to take her to court and take time to take her out to all these programs she had to do. So it was just like a pain that I didn't feel like doing anymore. I just wanted her to pull her head out of her ass.
Have you had an extended conversation with your sister, aside from just hitting her car, about your desire for her to pull her head out of her ass?
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying now, like, our relationship's cool, because she finally did that. She started going to school and everything. So, yeah, she's finally pulled her head out of her ass. But I don't think it's anything I said to her or even me crashing into her car.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Is there anything else that you want to say before we go, Tina?
Well, I just want to say my real name is Dominique. I just said Diamond Tina because the last time I got in as the screener, I didn't get through. So I just wanted to have an eye-grabbing name. But I also just wanted to say that I love your stream. I've been listening since, like, November or something. I saw you on TikTok, and I figured that you would have a podcast on Spotify or something. So I was at work, and I checked you out, and I've been listening since then. I'm almost all the way caught up. I've started with the old episodes and then worked my way up. But I love your stream. Me and my boyfriend watch it all the time. And I just wanted to say thanks for picking up the phone and talking to me and for doing what you do.
Thank you very much, Dominique. I do really appreciate that, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Have a good one, Geck.
You as well.
Bye. Therapy Geckos on the line, taking your phone calls every night. Therapy Geckos doing it right, he's teaching you how to live your life. But he's not really an expert.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.